Yo, partnership alert, partnership alert, partnership alert. Living Corporate has a partnership with LinkedIn Learning, an American massive open online course provider that provides video courses taught by industry experts across a wide array of subjects. Now, the partnership is because Living Corporate has courses on LinkedIn Learning focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion for leaders, career professionals, and anyone really looking to upskill themselves and be better allies. So make sure you check out our courses on LinkedIn Learning by clicking the link in the show notes. And let's just say you don't want to do that. When you go to LinkedIn Learning on LinkedIn, search Living Corporate. We'll be right there. All right. Peace.
Welcome back to the break room. Hi, everybody. I am Dr. Brian Dixon. I am a child and adolescent psychiatrist in Fort Worth, Texas, trying to do my best to take care of my babies and take care of my grown folks and help them live their best lives. And as always, I'm joined with the most amazing co-host on the planet. I will kick it over to Dr. G-Day.
What's up? What's up? Hey, everybody. I'm Dr. G-Day Bamashigban. I'm an assistant professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, and a health psychologist who studies stress and health in families with a focus on Black fathers. I'm also a Black father to two wonderful boys, and I have a wonderful partner. So how about you, Dr. Nikki?
Hello. Hello, everybody. I am Dr. Nikki, the owner and operator of Dr. Nikki Knows, LLC, which is a private practice focused on Black women's wellness, relational and sexual wellness, and equity training for small to mid-size organizations and businesses. And I'm excited to be here in the break room.
Mm-hmm. Every time I hear your voice, Dr. Nikki, I think, smooth operator. I'm like, get it. I love it. And so y'all, so with the break room, we're all about the Black mental health experience at work. Last couple of episodes, we're going to let that progress over into your holiday life. And so today we're going to be talking about using gravy wisely and scratch gravy, not none of that shit from the jar, because that's nasty. So we'll come back to that in just a second. As always in our podcast, we always start with the tea, and then we're going to walk y'all through some the topic of the day. And most times we infuse lots of science and psychology behind that so that you can leave feeling more empowered and more informed. And then we're going to end with the last nerve, per usual. And so we hope that if you have any questions, that you will let us know. Just send us an email to thebreakroom@living-corporate.com. As always, make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And so today, I apparently am getting my Black card revoked because I don't know anything about the tea. So, Dr. Nikki, is it you schooling me on this?
Yes, Brian. So I'm going to take your Black card. I'm just going to say you like are very working and very professional.
I'll take it. Yeah.
I didn't want to do it.
Give me that card, man.
Yeah, sorry. Because I ain't never heard of this.
And the reason why, he's got to turn it over. At least for a 5-day suspension. How about that? We're going to give you a 5-day suspension on the Black card. Is because he never heard of hashtag Thanksgiving with Black families. Like, he never heard of the Thanksgiving clapbacks. And I'm like, how? It is one of the greatest gifts Bob Dole's internets have ever given me. Like, just like, oh my God. I felt so universally seen the first time I started getting them. And then what I loved was, yes, they're all over the internet, but I started getting all the screenshots from so many people. Mm-hmm. And I was just like collecting a whole folder of them. Because they bring me so much joy. So Brian, here it is. It's a scenario that is very typical of a Black Thanksgiving experience. Okay. The mm-hmm. one that comes to mind is people who haven't put in on any of the food. You haven't bought a roll, ice, a plate, nothing, but you packing up plates for your whole household to go.
Yeah.
Right. That's a very universal Black gathering experience, particularly around Thanksgiving, because we know you only put your best cooks on deck for Thanksgiving. You're not putting none of your B team players. Mm-hmm. You're getting the best of the best of the best. So everybody wants a plate. Mm-hmm. And so there's like this quintessential picture of a black man wearing glasses on the phone, like on a cell phone, looking uh-huh. like with this completely, what's the expression, G-Day?
I know exactly what you're talking
it's
about.
Like, yeah. And so what happens is there's a context for the tweet. Mm-hmm. And then the meme, the picture sells the story. It's like you can, like you're in the moment.
Somebody so, sipping some tea?
I love it.
Well, the expression is, well, you know, so don't start none, won't be none. You know?
Exactly.
So y'all, is it like words that you would say to your family, but you don't want to get punched in the mouth, so you don't say them? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Typically, yes.
Okay.
It's all the things that you're thinking, or maybe you have on the side with a person or two, but you could never say
them. Oh, gotcha.
Can I give you and so the, like the one is where he's like, I'm gonna call the people on you because you got warrants because you're trying to take plates, yeah, right? Like yeah, it's a yeah, yeah.
There's one that says, "Aunt, you know tattoos are a lifetime commitment, me, but your marriage wasn't."
Oh, snap. Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right, I like this.
Oh my God, Thanksgiving with black families, it's a season for me. Like, I get excited when we get close to when November pops up because I'm like, let the memes begin. Because I love it. It's just a joy.
So y'all know I have a black family, right? And how we have never seen this. Like literally, I have never heard or seen this in my whole
life. I honestly don't know how, Brian. Like I'm very confused right now. But when they come, trust and be assured, I will be rolling them out to you.
Yeah.
Please do. Yeah. I need
cat will be popping. Guaranteed.
With lots of crime.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah. So we would love, especially once this episode airs, we would love for you to share some of your favorite Thanksgiving clapbacks.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So follow us on Twitter at the Break Room LC, and then you can find Dr. Nikki at Dr. Nikki Knows, correct? Mm-hmm. And then Dr. G-Day at G-Day, J-I-D-E.
B-A-M.
B-A-M. That's what I thought.
I love it. G-Day, yeah. Bam.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm at Dr. Dixon FTW. So please follow us on Twitter and make sure to share some of your favorite holiday things. So one of the things we're going to talk about today during our topic is use gravy wisely, because we're about to go into a season where traditionally, theoretically, we're supposed to take some time to slow things down, gather our loved ones around us, and through food and community, create a shared experience, right? And so with that said, a lot of this, there's some culturally significant things. And so I kind of want to walk us through some of the terms and some of the ideas around the holiday season, especially with Thanksgiving. And so I grew up in East Texas. And so I consider myself Southern. And I guess I'm Black and Southern. But we're surrounded by lots of folks who didn't grow up in East Texas, who are, I put sugar on my grits, and other people apparently have a damn heart attack if you do that. And they're like, no, you're not supposed to put sugar on your grits.
Sugar definitely goes on grits, to be
clear.
Yeah,
I agree. Nikki, 100%.
Blasphemers, both of you. Blasphemy.
Get out. No, so no way.
We can
no way.
Never have
no
breakfast way. Together. That just is that's off the table. Because if I see y'all put sugar on your grits, I'm going to have to flip the table. Why would you do that to grits?
So that's what do you put on it?
Tastes good.
Yeah, correct. I agree.
Lots of butter and salt and pepper. And then I particularly like a cheesy grit. My child does not like cheese grit. My child doesn't really like grits, but I love a cheesy grit. Oh my God.
Well, and so Dr. Nikki, Dr. G-Day, y'all have to explain to me. So when I say, if I was given a presentation and I was talking about sugar grits, I would have said, this is the Black experience. And I would have gotten up in front of all those damn people and said that Black people eat sugar grits because that's what I grew up with. And so I want to hear from y'all during this holiday season. Mm-hmm. What traditions do you pull from? Is it African? Is it African American? Is it ADOS? Is it HOTEP? Where are y'all pulling from?
Is it HOTEP? Is it
ADOS? First of all, HOTEP ain't no cultural tradition. Let's go ahead and take that off. Hey, yeah. Hotels ain't got no menu, okay?
Listen, we're all a little hotepy, okay? Just a little. Listen, and Dr. Nikki said this before the episode started. You know, the level of hotepery is a good test to know who you are with regards to other decisions in your life, like vaccinations. Right? Are you like Dr. Sebi Hotep? Are you that hotep? You know what I'm saying? Are you like Dr. Umar Hotep? You know, like
I feel like Dr. Umar Hotep is like, I feel like he is Hotep. Yes. That is like hotep. He's Hotep personified.
Yes. The epitome. Yes. Yes.
Wait, didn't he get married to two people recently?
Two women.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he got married to. Yes. I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong. I believe neither are like legal marriages either. I'm going to be quiet and mind my own business.
Because, you know, as a hotep, he sits outside the system. He don't need the system.
He don't need it. Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's a good question. It's a good question.
So here's what I feel like. Go ahead. Wherever you fall on that spectrum, you're going to show up for Thanksgiving and or Christmas, and it better be quality mac and cheese.
Yep.
And now there is a variety of different definitions around quality, because I have seen some things that are suspect. Mm-hmm. But by that family's definition, mm-hmm. quality mac and cheese, some candy yams.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. We're not having mashed potatoes. The minute a mashed potato enters the room, you're no longer amongst all black people, right?
Get out. Got
candy yams.
Get out.
Shut your mouth, Gina. You have mashed potatoes?
mashed potatoes were sent from God. So I'm going to take that back. You're going to take that back.
Mashed potatoes are amazing comfort food. I don't want them at my Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. They don't go.
I would agree, G-Day.
No way.
They don't go. Sorry.
Mashed potatoes absolutely are things that... What are you talking about?
Again.
And a black Thanksgiving.
Correct. Well, and so, again, how do you define a black Thanksgiving?
I thought
we was going to all be clear about mac and cheese,
I don't even know who you are.
These yams, and dressing. Nobody is eating stuffing. We're going to have dressing.
Now, everybody does have dressing. Is that right, G-Day? Please say yes.
G-Day, if you say y'all don't have dressing.
I cannot believe y'all do not talk, y'all disrespect mashed potatoes like that. I'm still stuck G-Day, on that.
But I need, like, this is a very existential crisis moment. Do y'all do dressing? Like, and I can't even put the G on the end, dressing.
I don't like dressing myself, but I'll acknowledge that it definitely is a part of
because
a
I
black
promise you, I would have to hang up this whole podcast and just
it's not my thing.
You say it. Y'all did not have dressing.
So I have this feeling. So G-Day, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Do you like sage as a spice? Because it tastes like pine trees. Correct. So that, I think, is one of the biggest issues with black people. Some black people dressing is they put sage in it and it tastes like pine trees and it's awful. And so I only eat dressing that does not have sage in it for that reason. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to keep all my other comments to myself.
I mean, you've already started.
Yeah. I already heard my feelings.
Listen here. Well, what I was going to say is, I feel like if you put sage in your dressing, then there's been some sort of disconnect in the black cultural lineage somewhere. Like the great migration your family took from the South to wherever y'all landed. Some got lost in translation because I'm from Louisiana and I feel like we the blackity is black. Like from the Delta, from Louisiana, like we it. So if we don't put sage in the dressing,
I'm going
to go ahead and say it wasn't supposed to be put in there.
Okay.
Good.
Stay firm on that. We'd love to hear this, Killerly. Please tweet at us at the Break Room LLC because we really need some guidance on this. I'm really still appalled at this conversation around
mashed potatoes. Definitely is a Thanksgiving food. Okay, like 100%. I'm 1,000,000%. I just can't.
We're gonna just fight on that between that right and these grits. We're gonna fight and then we're gonna hug it out and it's gonna be good. But
yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because that's what we do. Actually, that's what black people do. Mm-hmm. You fight and it's over.
And so, which is the perfect segue into what is the social significance of food? So it feels like we as black folks, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like black folks communicate their love through food, or am I just making shit up?
Oh, no. 100%.
Your mom might not apologize to you, okay? She might not say, I'm sorry, but... Never. I have a plate of food. Your food is ready. That's that apology. Okay. In a particular situation. Hey, your food is ready. That's an apology. So
let me tell 100%. You something. One time in college, I came home to quote unquote surprise my grandmother, my family, but I went to my grandmother's house first. Like, didn't tell anybody I was coming home. And the devastation that she didn't have anything cooked for me. Like, what? Like, I was like, I can't ever do this again. Cause she was like, baby, I didn't know you were. Oh my God. If granny had known my baby was coming, I could have, well, let me see what I got in there. It just was so distressing to her that I had come home and she had nothing cooked for me. And that I knew food meant love in a whole new way in that moment because she was not satisfied. Just tell granny, tell whatever you want. Tell me and I'm gonna send them to the store to get it for you. Right.
Like,
food is love.
And and when your mama or your grandma were cooking and they would call you in and they say, here, baby, lick this spoon and see what it needs. What? Because to me, it's a trap. So what do y'all do? Because
that is 1,000,000%.
It's a football trap.
Like, you know, you're about to get popped in the back of the head. Like, the hand's waiting, like, right behind your head for your wrong answer to pop, you know? Yep. You know, I'll say,
but Brian, I didn't know how much of a setup it was until literally when you said it, I felt my body get activated. I was like, what's the right answer? Like, and I was like, oh, it is a
That has never happened to me. My mom has never said, taste this and let me know. Never. My mom is never. It's
your
always
mom is
this
nice.
Is what it is. And you're going to like it, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
No, they do that for sure. Mm-hmm. Parallel to that, the reason why I have never taken on contributing anything majorly to the holiday dinners is because one time I tried to make a pot of gumbo with my mother's, like, standing right there, like, moment by moment, I'm going to use the word support generously, teaching, coaching. And it was all wrong. She was like, brown your sausage. And I'm like, okay, it's brown. Not that color brown. You need to put it, it's not ready yet. And I'd be like, what? The ancestors aren't speaking to me in the way that they are speaking. Yep. Like, it was so traumatizing where, like, every little bit was wrong. You're not chopping it up fine enough. Mm-hmm. I said, cube it. You're not doing cubes. So I tried gumbo one time and my grandmother was known, for her pecan. Candy or praline them. And I one time to make pecan candy per her instruction. And that old lady, she probably was good in her 90s. She was at the very least in her late 80s. And she just moved, like, just get out the way because you just messing this up. And I was like, okay, well, I don't trust what it takes. I tried, but I don't. Can I pass these cultural traditions on to whoever else is the next generation?
Recipes are being lost.
My ego won't let me, baby. Mm-hmm. A peer review rejection from a journal ain't got nothing on looking at the disappointment and just almost like pity in your grandma or your mama's eyes that you can't cook right. No, thank you.
Yeah, I remember. So I tried to do a different take on greens. So the way mama would always make her greens, she'd get the ham hock and then boil the ever living shit out of her collard greens. Right. And they were delicious. She'd always add a dash of vinegar at the very end and just bam, just kicked it up a notch. And so a friend of mine showed me how to do kind of braised greens. He's a white guy. And so he would read in his.
That was your fucking steak.
Yeah.
I think he said that. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Womp womp. Yeah. He read it in Bon Appetit magazine. And so you take the greens and you use a little chicken stock and you cut the greens up and you braise the greens. So, you know, you don't cook them and you don't submerge them. You kind of, saute them in a sense. And I was like, oh, these are really great. Yeah, you do a little bacon. And I took them home to mama. And I swear, and she looked at me and she was like, what the hell is this? And I felt so bad because I was like, but mama, they're healthier. And they taste good. And she was like, yeah, no, that's not where we're going to be. So I learned my lesson. And I never took home the, like, newfangled stuff to Dr. Nikki's discussion in our last podcast. So y'all make sure to go check it out. Yeah. Thanksgiving is very structured and it's the same damn thing every year. And you do not deviate. And so, So I want to hear from y'all. because of course, with the pandemic, the panini, we don't have to go in as much. We don't have to go in as much for potlucks. But what would y'all do? So if you had to go into the office, or you had to go into the break room at the, in the department meeting, you had to bring something. What are y'all's like go-to dishes? What do y'all normally bring?
Can I say this? 100% office, you know, office potlucks. Mm-hmm. There are white people out of the office. We are purchasing pre-packaged food. Okay. You are not, I'm not letting you cook anything. I'm not eating anything that you're going to cook. Okay. For maybe some baked like treats. You know what I'm saying? Like those are relatively safe. But as far as, you know, I've seen those videos of people who like let their cats in their fridge. You know what I'm saying? And their dogs on their kitchen counters. And you know, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Who they calling in the kitchen, Brian, is they dog. Lick this spoon and tell me what it needs. And then you're going to stick it back in the pot. So I don't fucks with nobody's potluck. If I don't see that it's in a container that came from a store, or you're not someone, a coworker that I know personally, I'm not eating it. Yeah. When I had my first tenure track gig up at UAlbany, it was my first time being like really immersed in a predominantly white environment. Albany, New York. That's off the riff, like 99% white. And then I'm a university professor. So imagine that I did not have many colleagues, but they had the two realest ass secretaries, administrative assistants in the office. And they straight up was like, hey, look, we're going to let you know what not to eat and what you can't eat. And I was like, I felt like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't understand what this cross-cultural experience is, but yes, thank you. Whatever reason you all feel connected to me, I'm a bit, and they were, that we had a code word. If I started going towards somebody's dish, they would be like, have you been getting a lot of sun lately? You know, they say vitamin D is good for you. And I'd be like, I haven't gotten out of the sun lately. And I would just go on down to the next. You gotta know whose food you can mess with and whose you can't.
I love it. Y'all are so wonderful. So I used to work retail before I went to med school, and I never passed up a free meal. So it feels like I've eaten everything under the sun by everybody. But yes, to that point, if you don't know where it comes from, especially in today's age, I probably wouldn't eat it either.
Especially in a COVID street. Like, people can't even wear masks. And I'm supposed to trust that you have proper hygiene.
No.
And kitchen and food safety in your home? No. Oh, and then one time, I know this is a bit of a digression, but one time I went to a book club. One time I tried to join an all white book club, and it was a potluck. First mistake. First and last. And it was at somebody's, apartment complex, like high rise or whatever. So, you know, you park on a certain level and you got to walk in the breezeway and get the elevator up to their unit. This woman got out of her car and just pulled out a pie from her back seat with no cover, no foil, no saran wrap, nothing. And then just walked all through that breezeway, all on the elevator, talking all the things with that uncovered dish. And I was like, we just letting all the air on it? Like, where did this come from? And that was confirmation for me that I can't trust.
Can't do it.
I can't trust food at the potluck.
Lord have mercy.
I appreciate the effort and the thought. You know, it's a way to bring people together and, you know, support culture, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's going to be prepackaged.
Yeah.
Yes. Please buy it. Food. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so what about the, so I say the personal significance of Thanksgiving and food. And so, yes, so Black folks, we very much are, we share our expression of love through food. But one of the things you always hear from your grandma and your mama and everybody else is, did you get enough to eat? And what is it about us and getting enough to eat to the point where we will actually overeat, to the point of discomfort, to the point of overabundance. In a sense, sometimes it's almost like a almost like an arms race. Like, you want to have so much food there because you don't want to look bad, or you don't want to look in a certain way. And man, the pathology is deep. So it's
very deep.
Yeah. So G-Day, what do you think?
I think that as a people, we have, I think it's a form of intergenerational trauma, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for a long time we didn't factually, historically were deprived access to food, like the basics, you know what I'm saying? Like to food and even made a great cuisine out of scraps. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that's important. So I think that that's where it comes from. And I really want to encourage black parents. If your child says they're done eating, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I get it. You put all this food and, you know, it's the food. If we think of it as love, right? Mm-hmm. You're not finishing my love. You know what I'm saying? You didn't finish your plate. You're not taking all the love I gave for you, right? But like, no, I know you love me. It's an expression of you giving the food and making me love should be the expression of the love, you know? Mm-hmm. 'Cause people don't like, it's something that I've had to grow out of myself, you know, because it's always, you're not going nowhere till you finish your plate, you know, but if I'm not hungry, I'm not, if somebody's not hungry, don't make them eat. It leads them to overeating. That's exactly what it does. Yeah.
I'm about, this is the deepness of what you just said, Brian. I didn't even think about it as trauma. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even think about it as not healthy until you said it. And I was like, oh, wait. Oh, so I'm like having all of these like internal revelations about things. And in my family, it's very interesting because there is, it's a catch 22, but it's all, this is where I went with like the, is it traumatic? You know, is it some like just toxic shit? Because I thought like in my family, it's like, oh, you didn't want none, where I was vegetarian. Mm-hmm. My Lord. Black vegetarians, like, salute to you. But you could go home for family gatherings and maintain that vegetarianism because I would get so much flack. Oh, well, you know, we had to make hers on the side. Oh, you know, she not gonna eat that. Oh, well, you know, you still not eating. And then people trying to just put, you know, ham slices in my face. You sure you don't want, like, it was just relentless. Mm-hmm. And so now in my family, even though now I'm back being a meat eater, there's this line. You either like, did you get enough? And then if you go back for seconds, there's teasing about that. Like, mm-hmm. but it's sort of like a point of pride. Right. Like, oh, we know she got, she knows she likes it because right. she mm-hmm. went back for seconds. Or where you gonna put all of that? But there's a lot of commentary around mm-hmm. how much you've eaten. If you get seconds, are you taking any home? Who's sort what of allowed eating? To eat as much mm-hmm. as they want? Who isn't? Mm-hmm. What are you eating? Right. Like, oh my gosh.
Yep. And so one of the reasons why we are having this podcast and we called it Use Gravy Wisely is because a little gravy is great. Too much gravy can be problematic. And so everything in moderation. And so we're going to walk through some of the most common macronutrients. So a macronutrient is kind of the big classification of where you get your calories, mostly proteins or fats or carbohydrates. And then kind of the extra stuff. So if you remember that food pyramid thing, there's a place for, you know, oils and salts and stuff like that and greens and blah, 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 blah. So we're going to walk through some of these things just so that you can be very mindful and be very thoughtful about what you're eating this holiday season. And so let's start with sugar. So sugar is awesome and delicious. One of the things that I always like to share is that there are different types of sugar, right?
Lord.
So yeah, so
here we go.
And three big types. So the first being fructose, which is in fruits, and so super sweet. It's natural. You can't overdo it. Most times, if you overdo it, you'll just poop it all out. It'll give you diarrhea, and you know, and you will have learned your lesson. So I'm sure everybody's had the eaten pears.
I have not. Under.
Really, like eating pears off the pear tree. Did y'all have a pear tree growing up?
No. First of all, like every person just has a pear tree.
Right.
Like, I'm eating fruit trees. Like, wait, let's back all the way up.
Well, that's what you get from living in East Texas.
You didn't have a pear tree and a lemon tree and an apple grove and a watermelon.
What kind of black are you?
Exactly. No. Jeez, I thought y'all was black. Again, the black experience from East Texas is, yeah, we were pulling pears off the pear tree. But yeah, so there's fructose and then there's lactose. So it feels like, and again, I can't even remember what the research shows about lactose intolerance in black folks, but it feels like quite a few black folks don't tolerate lactose very well. GDA, do you know?
In fact, I think it's like 70-something percent of the world is actually lactose intolerant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not we weren't, all cultures didn't look at cows and go, you know what I'm saying?
Like, get the it juice was, like, out of
it. Some cultures, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we can get, like, no, that wasn't happening. Like, some people did it.
I love it.
Yeah, and that's why. And, you know, it's one of those cultural differences, right? So, mm-hmm. yes, black people tend to be very, very lactose intolerant, right? But the same mm-hmm. reason, when you have a baby, they say, stay away from peanuts, stay away from peanut butter, right? In Israel, babies eat peanuts, peanut butter, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you're pregnant, they say stay away from raw fish. You think in Japan they tell women don't eat raw fish while you're pregnant, right? It's very, very culturally based. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And then there's glucose. So glucose is probably the most common form of sugar. It's, again, it's very sweet and it's wonderful. When people talk about sugar diabetes, what they're saying is their glucose in their veins is too high. The glucose level is too high. And so one of the ways you get that down, so for all of our listeners who are taking insulin, what insulin does, insulin is a hormone that literally drives sugar from the veins into your cells so that your cell can burn it up. And that's what actually makes you warm. Sometimes your cell will store it. And if you store too much sugar, your cells will actually turn into fat because it's an easier, more biochemically sound way of storing energy. And so, yeah, so one of the keys for this holiday season is if you're going to eat, just be thoughtful about how much sugar you're getting, because either it'll make your blood sugar go up if you got diabetes, or it can make you gain some weight. So.
But what if your grandma's sweet potato pie is the most important thing in your life? Am I supposed to just like have a slice? I'm so confused.
No, you're supposed to take that. No, you take the whole thing home.
What you say?
Yeah, you get the whole day. It's just 1 week, right? So, yeah. So go ahead, Gina. Okay.
So know, I can make some adjustments in my overall diet in order to allow indulgence and cultural connection for that. Okay, I just wanted to get clear on that page.
Thanksgiving is a cheat day. You know what I'm saying? That's what we have here. Thanksgiving and Christmas are cheat days, and your birthday.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And speaking of which, so again, and this is going back to what my mama did. So is it cinnamon? Some people put cinnamon in their sweet potato pie, and a lot of people put too much nutmeg. Yeah. And y'all go easy. That's all I have to say about that. All right. And so, so everything in moderation. So if you're going to eat sugar, but feel free, dressing. So dressing is cornbread. Cornbread has sugar in it. Any type of bread or rolls that has sugar in it. Any type of ambrosia salad, fruit cocktail salad, any of those things, it has a lot of sugar. So just be
treat.
Y'all ain't gonna let me live this down.
Yeah. No, never. Not at all.
Thanks, guys. And so that's sugar. The next big group is fat. So fat is delicious, y'all. Whenever you're getting that nice piece of, so I'm a big fan of baby back ribs. I'm a big fan of pork ribs. I don't know why anybody eats beef ribs, but it's so delicious and wonderful.
Beef ribs are delicious.
No, they're not. Beef ribs are weird. They're real weird. But that's neither here nor there. The key is to be very thoughtful about good fats versus bad fats, right? Mm-hmm. So good fats come from like fish. So do any of y'all have fish?
We're not eating no good fats.
Thanksgiving?
Given to the black community. You just go ahead and skip right to the chase. We're not eating good fats. There's no avocado. There's no almond. There's no nut-based fat. Right. Like, we're not getting none of those omega-3s on Thanksgiving in a black community. It's all the bad fat. All the saturated fats.
Gotcha, yeah. And so, yeah, so to Dr. Nikki's point, so a saturated fat is anything that turns solid at room temperature. And if you imagine eating that, it'll also turn basically solid in your veins. So be careful with that kind of stuff.
Good visual, actually. The idea that it'll turn solid in your veins made me go, shit.
Yeah, that's butter. Butter is the same way. Butter is a saturated fat.
I feel very attacked right now.
Yeah,
very.
And don't get me wrong. I love you. So give me banana pudding any day and all that good eagle milk, carnation. Oh, shoot. Yeah. I'll tear that up. But yeah, just be careful with the fats. Fats make you feel good. The good part about fats is that they fill you up. So you're less likely to kind of overeat in a fat because they're so filling. So just be careful because it'll make your cholesterol go up. So we talked about sugars. We talked about fats. Salt. Now, salt is awesome. And there's research that literally shows y'all that salt enhances the flavor of whatever you put it on.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I've seen black people put it on watermelon.
Christopher Columbus, the colonizer, came all of this way for salt. Like they were looking for spices. Let's never forget that. Because y'all food was flat and they have no flavor.
Yeah. But the pilgrims just happened to land upon this empty land, right? So, I mean, isn't that okay? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. G-Day. Oh, y'all, if you can see G-Day's face. Oh, man, I tell you, it's a story. And so, yeah, so the thing about salt and to be the place where we want you as the bread groom to be really careful with salt is that it can. So salt attracts water. So as you eat salt and it gets into your vein, it'll actually pull water from other places. And that's where people are like, ooh, my legs are swelling or ooh, I feel bloated. That's where that comes from, because that's just what salt does. And so the key is be very thoughtful about your salt. And if you're gonna cook or if you're gonna add extra salt, and just be very mindful, because we tend to over salt things because it accentuates the flavor. So anything y'all want to say about that part?
I have a meta reflection. Okay, I'm gonna make it a question. So I'm sitting here listening to you and I believe everything you're saying to be true. I trust your advice. It lines up with my general understanding about the human body and health and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking if my mother heard you, she would probably cuss you out. Not really because she don't know you, but she would be like, well, what we supposed to eat then? We ain't supposed to have nothing. For generations, black folks been cooking and that's what our time to come together. Like I could hear this whole thing. And so where is that line, right? Between knowing that we may have some cultural traditions that are born out of trauma, born out of lack, but they have persisted and we have sort of reclaimed them to be spaces and sources of joy. Like how do we navigate all of that?
You want G-Day to take it first or you want me to take
it? Either one. I'm just like, I don't have a good answer for it. I'm really sitting here trying to like weigh it all out.
G-Day, do you want it? Because I'll give you my 2 cents.
You know, I think that this is where health literacy comes in. I think health literacy is and that's kind of just being literate and having a good understanding about things related to health. So that's what health literacy is, you know, like reading literacy and math literacy for listeners who may not know what it is. I think that's where this stuff comes in because, you know, and I haven't learned this until my PhD program, you know, how to read labels, right? And understand like there's actually a good amount of salt, you know, like it will tell you how much salt you need to use per this, you know? So I think health literacy is something that can help reduce that to help people not overuse it, you know? Like, listen, salt is going to be used for cooking. Don't get it twisted, you know? Like salt revolutionized cooking. Well,
I meant right? all the things that you did. Like my family going to use... Mm-hmm. Like all the things, like I'm listening to you and I'm like, yeah, there is nothing on the menu on a regular basis, right? Yeah. Nothing on the menu on a regular basis that doesn't fall into all of those categories.
I'll say that no matter what, it's better than eating fast food. Okay. At the end of the day, it's better than eating fast food. So Dr. Dixon, you go ahead.
Yeah. So I think of it as a behavioral biology literacy. So one of the examples that I give when I'm teaching my families is if you eat a Snickers, it's pretty sweet, right? If you drink a Coke, it's pretty sweet. If you drink a Coke and then eat a Snickers, is that Snickers as sweet?
No.
Correct. It is not. And why is that? Well, it's because you hit a saturation point, right? So there's only so much sugar that you can take without it kind of literally changing your taste buds or your perception of it in the moment. And so my answer to you, Dr. Nikki, is yes, for celebrations, because celebrations, we get what, 8 major holidays, maybe some birthdays, some anniversaries. So maybe 12 to 20 times a year where you go all out. And that leaves 340 other days where you can just do like normal stuff. Reset your sugar receptors, reset your fat receptors, right? So that's why I'm like, if But I bring it up to y'all on the pod, on the break room, because we are doing it every day. Like, people eat, some people make dressing every Sunday. And I'm like, no. Y'all.
Yeah. Also, you know, and also back to the health literacy aspect, and, you know, this is also a thing related to like food availability, you know, mm-hmm. and the fact of the matter mm-hmm. that, like, the reason why carbs are so good is because potatoes and rice can feed a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, with not that much money, mm-hmm. you know, so yeah. like there's that aspect of it that plays a role. So I don't want to forget that there's access issues and things that mm-hmm. go into yeah. kind yeah, of our yeah. diets and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's a great segue over into alcohol. So, y'all, I love me a good Maduro Sour. I love me I love Amaretto. I think it's delicious and wonderful. But therein lies a couple hiccups. So, number one, alcohol hits a brain receptor called GABA, G-A-B-A, which is a fancy place in your brain that literally calms you down. And so that's why when some people are like, oh, I'm so nervous. I know. And some people are like, I'm nervous. Let me take a shot. Let me get a drink. Well, that's because that's what it does. It literally calms you down. But the problem is it builds a dependence to the point where you will start to feel like you need it all the time. So that's number one. And then the other hiccup, y'all, I read this somewhere, a shot of liquor is 100 calories. And so every vodka, I know, ain't that messed up? Yeah. So a shot of vodka, 100 calories. And if you're not careful, you can do lots and lots of shots over.
It don't even taste good.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what kind of vodka you're getting. Pick a good kind.
I was going to say, speak for yourself. I'm a fan of a lot of different liquors.
I can't drink alcohol anymore. I used to, but I don't drink alcohol yet.
Though. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a vice that I could probably do without. But the key is, so it'll calm you down, but here's the hiccup. And I'm sure y'all have seen this, Dr. Nikki and Dr. G-Day. It also lowers disinhibition, or it disinhibits you.
Oh yeah,
right. And so, as y'all have, I'm sure y'all have seen either the cousin, the uncle, or the friend who acts a damn fool when they drunk, and it's because it literally overrides their ability to make good choices. Yep. And so, yeah. So be careful this holiday season as you're drinking and being around other folks.
And alcohol is also a depressant. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and a depressant is exactly what you think it does. The long-term use, it makes you depressed. Like, seriously, it makes you sad, you know? Like, and I'm sure you've seen those uncles who, you know, who lose it, you know, because they're mm-hmm. belligerent. And you've also seen the people who just break down and just start crying, mm-hmm. right, on alcohol, because that's what it does to you.
The fun drunk, though. I don't like the angry or the sad drunk. Yeah, I am a fan of the fun drunk.
Fun drunk, yeah.
And they
yeah.
do exist.
Mm-hmm. And so before we get to the last nerve, I want to hear from y'all.
But wait, Brian, you forgot one. You forgot, totally forgot THC.
What did I forget?
THC.
Oh, Lord.
Because that also comes as part of the family
Thanksgiving, that's true. That is definitely a big part of the
cousins in the back room.
You know, so cousins who go on the walk.
Y'all.
That's right. Let's go get a walk. Let's go walk for real quick.
With red eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, we, bro.
Yeah, and it's legal in several states.
I was going to say, if it's legal, please use responsibly. One of the hiccups with weed, and I say this, and I say this with all the love in the world, but one of the hiccups with weed is that if you do too much of it, it creates what we call a motivational syndrome. It's where you literally don't want to do anything. You have difficulty starting things. So please use responsibly is all I have to say.
Back to your first point, everything in moderation.
Everything.
The first thing Dr. Dixon said, anything can be enjoyed in moderation.
Did you define moderation?
Moderation? We didn't define moderation. So I think moderation, and this is a great question. Moderation to me is very individualized. It is, to me, a point, it is the balance of satiety versus excess. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, I was like, I felt that. We felt that at the table. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's satiety. My, yeah.
Go look that up, all you cool cats and kittens.
Exactly. This podcast is going to teach you some shit. And so what we're going to do now is a couple different things, and then we give us some of your morning after remedies. And so, and then we're going to walk over to the last nerve. And so after you've eaten and you've drinking and you're drunken and you've imbibed and all that kind of stuff, walk me through, what are some of the things y'all do the day after to make sure that you're off to, feeling better. So, Dr. Nikki, what you got?
I'm horrible for this. I don't do anything.
You just keep doing what you're doing.
Just suffer in silence. Just
go to bed and sleep. That's all I got for you.
Drink some water.
I probably would go for a walk. I don't know. I'm not. These are health behaviors that I struggle with, in full transparency. Nutrition and moderate alcohol consumption. These are not my strong suits. So I'm taking it all in. I'm trying to be a better person. But I ain't there yet, so.
Gotcha. Yeah. And thank you for sharing. And so what about for you, Dr. Jide?
You know, got to drink your water. You know, you have to drink water. Like every day, you have to drink your water. Even on the days where you want to do other stuff, please drink your water, you know. And you can even drink other things, but please drink your water. So always drink your water, just in general. You know, getting older is hard. You know, I'm not going to say my age because, you know, whatever. But coffee, both y'all looking at me like I'm
because you're the baby. Okay. Exactly. And I'm the oldest. So, I know that. So, yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm not going to say my age.
Alcohol has turned 29. On me. Milk has turned on me. Caffeine has turned on me. And alcohol has turned on me. So, all of those things, like, I would say coffee. Like, coffee in the morning used to make me feel good, but I can't do that anymore. So, Dr. Dixon, you tell us. I feel like Dr. Nikki and I are not helpful here.
Yeah, so
we are not the good ones for this.
Yeah, so I always tell people pooping is important, and you never understand how important it is until you can't do it. So make sure that you do what you need to do and to poop every day if you can. So drink water, exercise. The other thing is, I'd say just be grateful. We live in a time of abundance. So, you know, 60 years ago, you wouldn't be able to find the juiciest turkey and the best greens and the, you know, and do all this stuff. And so, yeah, it just take a moment to look at the sun, go outside, get some air, appreciate the freedoms, you know, however limited we have them, appreciate the ones that we have. And really try to enjoy this holiday season. So, all right, y'all, we are at the end of this podcast. And as at the end of every podcast, we always end it with the last nerve. And so today's last nerve, we're going to give it to Dr. Nikki.
Yep, can't wait.
Oh, I got to give you a time. So still hang on. Where's the? Hang on. We always do 2 minutes,
I'm
y'all.
I'm not even feeling that fired up. I'm just contemplating deeply all of this.
All the things.
Intergenerational trauma and moderation. Yeah. G-Day, my body would turn on. Maybe my body did turn on me and I just ignored it. I'm just thinking through all of these things. Yeah,
it turned on me. All of it.
All righty.
Like, I run this ship.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Nikki, the floor is yours. Go for it.
So in today's last nerve, look, people, we keep doing the same old shit and expecting to get different results. So as you may or may not be aware of at this point, the state of Texas has successfully passed one of the most restrictive abortion bans on its heels to do the same thing. And it's been a systematic thing. This is like Texas has been true to this. It's not new to this. They have been systematically sort of restricting women's access to abortion rights. But there's a special brand of white feminism that shows up in moments like this. And it happened in the 20s. When did we get stuck with the hell mouth? Is it 2018? 2016?
I can't remember.
2016. 2016 election, right? Like after He Who Shall Not Be Named won, right? There was all of these women taking to the streets and these pink pussy hats and all of the stuff. And that's not effective. One, no one gives a shit. Like you could go stand in front of anybody's Capitol orifice. That's a Freudian slip. Edifice building. I'm just going to use that word. You can go stand in front of any governmental building with your placards, wearing the same colors, whatever. And it doesn't matter. Like those senators, those state senators, those state legislators, federal, no one cares about that because you know what they care about? Money. So unless and until you actually study among folks of color, marginalized communities who've actually been doing activism for its very survival for decades upon decades, who've perfected how to do that work. Unless you're partnering with them, thinking through that, recognizing that resistance strategies happen on multiple levels, miss me with all of that, all of your sort of outrage, faux outrage is what I'm gonna call it. I don't need you marching. I don't need you standing in front of no building. Don't ask me to sign up to march or do nothing, because that's not effective unless you have money, unless you have power, unless you are feeding the system in a way to help dismantle it from the inside out. You just causing noise and really getting in the way of folks that are doing the real work. And I'm sick of y'all.
Yep.
That's my last nerve.
Preach. So thank you. Dr. Nikki, thank you for the last nerve. Y'all go out and do some shit and do the right shit. Put your money in the right places. And so we at the Break Room are super glad that y'all are here. As always, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving season, because we'll come back with more interesting tidbits for the Christmas season in just a little bit. As always, please follow us on social media, as well as subscribe to the podcast, and send us any emails or correspondence to thebreakroom@living-corporate.com. Until we see you again, take care, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Peace, 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 peace.